The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app True Connect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of True Connect exclusively for Raider Nation.
Welcome to the Raiders Press Pass, your credential to all things silver and black.
All right. Not a whole lot different than what we talked about after the game. Some good things and then obviously some things to fix and improve. And as hard as we fought, obviously we, left some meat on the bone. And I'd say, especially offensively and defensively, definitely things we could have done better to change the outcome. Kicking game was largely, a bunch of touchbacks and extra points and those kind of things, but we had some things we could have done better in both phases. Again, give them credit. We did a good job and made a couple more plays than we did.
Josh, when you look at the defense, that's a blame, to play the blame game. There's a lot of missed draft picks here over the last few years, and it's pretty evident. When you realistically look at your defense, how long do you think it can take for it to get to the level that you need it to be at?
I don't know that you ever go into it saying that you this is the, 2 years from now or next spring or, it's hard to put a timeline on that because every day you're going to try to make it better, whether you're coaching the players that are here to try to improve them positionally, individually, or you're trying to, identify ways that you could improve the roster either from the bottom or from the top, And so the short answer is we want to try to improve it as much as we can every day, whether that's, again, working here with the guys that are already on the team or identifying opportunities to improve it somewhere else. So, every phase of the team is going to be addressed. That's what happens every year. So, defensively, do we have some things we want to try to improve? No question. Same thing offensively. There's definitely areas where we can improve and get better and in the kicking game. So there's no timeline on it. We're definitely not going to be patient, in that regard. We just want to try to those evaluations after the season will be very important to us. It'll kind of lay a blueprint for, okay, what do we need to do with the guys that are coming back? To make sure that they can take a step forward and improve. And then what do we need to address somehow, some way relative to acquisitions in the offseason? And so we'll be hard at work at that, after this next game.
Josh, when you look at a defense that even down five starters played reasonably well in the first half, but over the course of the season that struggled, mm-hmm. I know that they're Patrick's guys and he coaches them, but he can only coach what he has. How much of the criticism do you think has been unfair for Patrick? Because he's only coaching what he has.
Yeah, I don't even know, I'm not really in touch with all the outside criticism, and that's not a knock on anybody who has an opinion either. I see what Pat does every day. I see what our staff does every day. I see what our players do every day. And look, football is a team game. And you're never going to have, not each man on the team is not going to be created equally. Each phase of the team is not going to be identical in terms of strengths and weaknesses. That's the beauty about our sport, is that you can play a team game and you can make a decision each week about what you need to do to play it right against a team that has different strengths and weaknesses than you do. And last week was a good example. This week will be a completely different example of their strengths and weaknesses are completely different than ours in many ways. And we have to use what we have to try to combat theirs and try to play the game as a team so that we have a chance to win. So I don't blame anybody, and we don't blame anybody here either. We just try to accept accountability for the things we can do well to help our team try to win. I think Pat's done a great job of that. Our staff has too. And look, these are our guys. These are our guys, And so whether we drafted them, signed them, or they were here before we got here, it doesn't make any difference in football. Like, this is our team. So to me, we coach them all the same. We don't look at, you know, how they ended up here. That's not what we're judging. What we're judging is what they do on a day-to-day basis. And our job is to try to help them improve. And in many cases, I think especially some of our younger players have really showed some progress throughout the course of the season. We've played a ton of players on defense. That's an exciting thing as we move forward. I know not everybody's excited about that at the moment, but that's a good thing for as we progress here. But I think, look, you know, any blame, I mean, like I said, we all share it, you know, it starts with me.
Josh, you guys are currently slated to have a pretty high pick early in the first round next year. Last year, I know it was a little bit of a weird draft because you guys obviously made the trade for Devontae and didn't have much draft capital. But how much does it change your approach going into the offseason when you have so many resources at the moment going into the draft?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it obviously, you know, there was a certain number of players that we probably knew last year going into the draft that we were going to have a hard time accessing, just being, you know, factual. You know, you're looking at the board and, you know, you don't know, you know, the guys that you think like, okay, are they going to go in the 40s, 50s or 60s? You know, you're not sure, but you might have a shot at them maybe if they fall a little bit. There were certainly guys that you pretty much had a great idea that they were going to be gone, you know, in the, you know, first 30, 35, 40 picks. And you know, we did them all. We evaluated them all. Like I said, there's a long-term benefit to doing that too, because, you know, players go on to second and third contracts and, you know, it's the right thing to do your due diligence on that. So we did that, but I would say this year, you know, we'll, you know, obviously there's going to be a different element, a different, you know, feeling as we go into that part of the year, because there's going to be a number of players now that, you know, who the hell knows how the first so many picks go. And, you know, you just got to be ready to go and, you know, hopefully add a bunch of good players to your football team. So the other thing that obviously could happen, and I'm not sitting here prognosticating anything, so please don't write anything about this. Like, you know, you when you have things, you know, you have more, you could move back. You know what I mean? There's all those things that you could do too that we really didn't have as much of an opportunity to do with where we were slated to pick first last year too. So there's a lot of different things that will probably come up and take place between now and then, that Dave obviously is already hard at work on a lot of different things. But, you know, when you pick, you know, early in each round, you know, and you have a pick in every round, that obviously changes the draft relative to what we had last year.
Defensively, how important is it to have guys that not only just do their job, but are expecting to make plays, you know, come up with the ball when it's in the air?
Yeah, I mean, it's important, Q. There's no real shortcut to it's, you know, you can teach certain things, you know, and you can teach, you know, techniques. You can try to create good habits, which that's what we do every day at practice. That's what we're trying to get our guys to understand and learn, so that you actually, when you're in the middle of the game, you act subconsciously. You're not thinking about it. Let me try to punch the ball out. You're just doing it because that's something that you have now learned and is part of who you are, part of your game. Then there's an element, I would say, of instinct that, you know, that's something that, you know, sometimes you can maybe improve it a little bit. But there are certain players that have a knack for that. You know, Max Crosby, you know, finding the ball, punching it out, or, you know, somebody getting hands on the ball in the secondary or linebacker position. You know, there's players that we've played against over many years that they just, you know, you're like, how the hell do they end up with the ball so much? You know, Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu, and, you know, there's guys like that where you just go like, I don't, you know, I'm not sure who taught them, but they taught them well. You know what I mean? And they might have taught them when they were this high too. So there's an instinctive level of defensive football where you just kind of have you can see the ball and the quarterback and your receiver at the same time, and you're feeling the route and all those things. Sometimes, like I said, you can make that better, and other times that's hard to do, you know, because instinct is something that's, you know, kind of you're born with some of it, and, you know, you're believe me, you're blessed when you have it, you know. So, you know. And then there's other times where, you know, the ball is just, you know, like we had a couple yesterday where the ball's up in the air and it's like we're just not close enough to it because we were, you know, doing our job somewhere else, and then it lands harmlessly on the turf. So I know, you know, you want as many as you can have. Sometimes I think, you know, you can make your own ball disruptions and those kind of things. And that's kind of obviously what we're going to be trying to improve. It's an area we're going to definitely obviously try to improve.
Josh, Jared was really efficient in cleaning pockets. But there were also times where things were breaking down for whatever reason, and he had to go make some plays with his legs, move around the pocket. How important is that in today's football to have that ability as your quarterback? And how much room in your offense is it? And where's the fine line of, all right, I got to move on from whatever was drawn up, whatever the intention of the play was, and go figure out a way to go make a play?
I think that, you know, today's NFL, I think there's, you know, varying levels of you wanting that. You know, perfect world, every pass play you draw up, you could just go back there in a nice clean pocket and make a read and throw and catch the ball. Realistically, that's unrealistic. And so I think that when something does happen to break down, you know, having an ability to either make a decision quickly and then throw the ball to a outlet receiver or what have you, that's one way to handle it, or to maneuver with your legs and extend the play. And so I think different players have different skill sets, you know, and so there are quarterbacks that you play where you go, okay, you know, we'd rather keep him in the pocket than let him get out of the pocket, because now you can really create some damage for yourself if you do that. And conversely for us, if we can make a play from the pocket because we have a good clean pocket, it's great. He extended some plays, yesterday that worked in our favor. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't, you know what I mean? So, I think the most important thing for me as I look at that trait and that skill is that when they do make the decision to move, that they're making it, it's a good decision and not a decision that's going to cause them more harm, you know, leaving the back of the pocket. Now he gets strip sacked. You know what I mean? Like those kind of decisions bother me, you know, because now you're putting the team and the ball at risk. I think if they make a good choice to move and maneuver outside the pocket, and then when they're out there, make another good decision, because that's a whole separate part of the equation is, all right, you're out there, and we all saw him yesterday drift, you know, and I'm not going to tell you what I was saying when he was drifting, but, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of throw it away or get down or something, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden you see something open, and then you go ahead and make another decision. So I think there's a lot of different elements to that. It's not just, you know, run out of the pocket and then it's over. It's make a good decision about whether you should or shouldn't leave. And then once you're out there, you got to also make another good choice about what to do with the football, because we see them all the time in games every weekend where somebody maneuvers, gets outside the pocket, and then makes a bad decision, throws it back across the field, and it's an interception. You go, oh, man, no, that's not what we want to do. So there's a lot that goes into that, you know, and not the least of which is what you saw Devontae do. That's the scramble drill that we work on from OTAs on, where the guy's coming this way. He looks, there's a guy here, there's a guy there, and he goes, there's nobody back here, and I'm going to put my hand up, and I'm going to be that guy. So, you know, there's a lot of elements to it that make it productive, but ultimately decision-making is at the top of the chart for me.
Is Jared's next, challenge going to be, she's going to have video of him, and he'll probably see some things he didn't see yesterday?
Sure. I think that's true for every young player, you know, who hasn't played a whole lot, is that, the more you put on tape, the more tendencies you display, the more things people may try to do to, you know, either hold their disguise or unsettle you or, you know, try to create some issues in the pocket, what have you. Again, the great thing about that is, the quarterback always has the ball last, and he gets to make a choice. And so, they blitzed him yesterday, they disguised yesterday, and then didn't blitz. They showed blitz and dropped. You know, they did all that stuff yesterday. So, he saw a lot of different things yesterday, and I think did a decent job of handling most of them the right way. But yeah, the more film you have, the more chances the defense and the defensive coordinators and the defensive staff has to try to disrupt you.
It seemed like you and Jared were in sync yesterday. I'm wondering if, looking back at the offense this year, if you think it was held back at all by Derek's grasp of the scheme? Was that kind of a thing you had yesterday you maybe didn't have in previous weeks?
No, I don't think that at all. Again, I have a lot of I have a lot of things that, you know, that our offense can do better. But no, that's not very high on the list of things. I mean, to me, I think that Derek's played with a lot of confidence in what we do. He's had some really good games this year. You know, so that's just, you know, we've had games where it's not been that way, but I mean, that's, there's a lot of factors that go into that. So, I don't feel like there was a big change in that, yesterday.
You had guys yesterday.
Go ahead, Damien. Go ahead. I just want to make sure my guys are here. If I'm going to get out of his chair and start throwing bows here.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I mean, you look like you had, you know, a solid connection with Jared, just, you know, not even on the field, but just off the field with his personality. You know, you've been with, in his offense, or he's been in your offense for this long. What are some personality traits or some things about him that you just like personally that you feel like makes him click with the rest of the team as well?
Yeah, Jared's, first of all, he's a great human being. We're blessed with a lot of those guys here, which is great. I think he gets along really well with everybody. He's a very honest guy. Works really hard, loves football, puts a lot of time in. One of the last guys to leave the building every single day, no doubt about it. Willing to help. The minute he got here, he kind of understood his position and understood his role and has been willing to help anybody, whether it's a guard, practice squad tight end, running back, receivers, quarterbacks, whatever, anything that he knew that he could impart to somebody else. He was very unselfish with, you know, trying to assist anybody he could. And I think that's, you know, that says a lot about somebody. You're trying to compete to win a job and to, you know, play and all that, but you're willing to, you know, take time to help others. I think that everybody has seen him do that from the minute he got here. So this guy's just he's a really good person and works hard and has been very patient too. Obviously, he sat and watched a lot of football, you know, in the few years that he's been in the NFL. And you know, I think there's a lot of people yesterday that were happy that he had an opportunity and then made the most of his opportunity.
Thanks for saving me from Levi's.
No problem. I
appreciate that. You had a couple guys yesterday, Jared, you know, telling his teammates it was on him. You had Colton Miller really devastated about how the last play unfolded. Where do you kind of balance how you want guys to be accountable, but also, like, don't take it all on them. Don't, like, you know, overreact to a mistake in a game necessarily and let that carry out through, you know, their preparation for the next game.
Yeah, I think, you know, accountability is a good thing. You know, and we never, like I said, we never point fingers. We never place blame. We win and lose as a team. They all know that. They heard it from me yesterday. They're going to hear it from me again today. And football, there's you know, 190 plays, 200 plays in every game. And, you know, but I could point to a bunch of obsolete plays that nobody will ever remember yesterday that probably would have changed the outcome of the game. And so, to me, you know, every player that plays 75 plays in a game has some that he would love to change the outcome, and a lot that he's proud of. And so I think that's really what yesterday is a good example of. You know, there was plenty of good plays, a lot of good plays, in many cases, in Colton's case, in Jarrett's case. You know, and then there's some plays where you say, man, I wish I could have changed the outcome or did something a little differently. That's football. I think, to me, I think what you see now is a group of guys that, you know, they want to win. They're willing to stand up and say, you know, hey, I didn't do a good enough job on that play. That's a great trait to have as a human being, not just a football player. And so I think that accountability is hopefully what we are building our culture on. You know, everybody accountable to the others in the locker room. And I hope it carries over into the offseason. It definitely will not carry over into this week and affect this game. I think our guys have, you know, learned enough to know this year, like, you know, we're all part of the equation. You know, when we win, it's the result of a lot of people doing a lot of things right. And when we lose, we all take our share of the blame.
Is there a chance that Zamir White is back this week, or you might just call
him? I'm hopeful. He worked out before the game yesterday, so we're trying to make a decision on whether he was really ready to roll or not. And he's working hard to try to get back as fast as he can. There's no question about it. But he was close enough yesterday for us to work him out, hopefully with another handful of days. You know, I know we're on a short week, but hopefully with another handful of days here, hopefully we can turn a corner.
There's some personal things out there for Josh Jacobs, you know, statistics wise. Got banged up a few times yesterday. Is that something where you got to kind of look at and weigh what's the right thing to do or the prudent thing to do?
Yes. Players' health, safety, and, you know, and just his overall well-being obviously will be at the top of that list. And then, you know, anything else, we will make sure we, you know, that comes after.
You expect him to?
I'm hoping. I mean, I don't put anything by him. You know what I mean? I mean, there was a couple of times he came out yesterday, and I thought they're going to tell me he's not – see it Monday. And son of a gun keeps going back in the game. So I don't put anything past JJ. He's a warrior. And, you know, we'll see how it goes, you know, this week.
One more, Adam.
Yeah, kind of similar to that. You usually, when you have a short week, you know it. You plan for a couple weeks, you know, in advance. Now you kind of got it sprung on you last night. How much does it change this week, and how difficult is that to adjust your schedule?
Yeah, we were aware that any and all games, I mean, we were aware that our game could get changed, you know. So we kind of had some plans in place either way. It won't change the next few days. You know, we're going to do this the right thing with the players. You know, we got some guys, you know, bumps and bruises. It was a physical game yesterday. So we're going to do the right thing in the next 2 days here. We'll watch the film, get treatment. You know, tomorrow will be their player day off. More treatment tomorrow. And then we're going to probably do exactly what we did for the Pittsburgh week relative to just in terms of how we prepared for it. You know, we can't cram – you know, we're not going to cram 3 days in and start practicing tomorrow. So we'll make sure we got our preparation ready to go. We'll do whatever we choose to do Wednesday. You know, we'll be smart about it. It'll be Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday we'll have a cleanup day, obviously, the day before the game, and then get ready to roll on Saturday. All right, thank you. Good to go? Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Raiders Press Pass. For all things silver and black, download the Raiders app and visit Raiders.com.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.